For Yellowstone Public Radio News, good evening. I'm Bree Ripley. Crews are gaining the upper hand on a fire burning south of the Fort Belknap Indian Reservation in north-central Montana, while weekend lightning storms sparked smaller fires in western Montana. The July fire has burned more than 16 square miles in the Little Rocky Mountains and has threatened the surrounding towns of Zortman, Landusky, Hayes, and Lodgepole. The fire was 50% contained as of this morning. Crews were working to protect structures in the four towns while reinforcing fire lines and trying to prevent it from spreading to the reservation. In northwestern Montana, thunderstorms started several fires between Kalispell and Libby on Friday. The largest is the 1.5-square-mile Laser Creek fire near Middle Thompson Lake. Helena area firefighters moved quickly to extinguish five lightning-sparked fires north of the city after a thunderstorm Sunday evening. The state attorney general's office has the green light from the federal government to begin testing hundreds of rape kits that had been sitting untouched in evidence lockers across the state. Attorney General Tim Fox said today more than 1,100 unprocessed rape kits, some dating back to 1995, will be sent in batches to a laboratory in Salt Lake City for testing. Last fall, the federal government awarded Montana $2 million to do the work. The federal grant follows national uproar over thousands of unprocessed rape evidence from across the country. Fox established a task force about 2 years ago to explore the matter. Some of the evidence was never tested because victims declined to press charges or preliminary evidence suggested a criminal act hadn't occurred. Summer reading is in full swing, and residents in Yellowstone County have options in finding their summer books. They can drive to the downtown library, or the library can come to them. As Kay Erickson found out, the bookmobile brings most of the features of the library to where people live.
Even in a digital age, a bookmobile is an important service to the region. It's mid-afternoon on a recent Monday. Billings Public Library's bookmobile is parked at one of its regular locations at Morningstar Senior Living Center on Billings' far west end. Alice Unger is a regular on her monthly hunt for her next reads.
Something that's easy to read and interesting, and I take enough books so that if I find one that isn't interesting, I can just put it back in the bag and it goes back.
Unger usually leaves with 6 to 7 books in her bag. There are more than just paperbacks and hardbacks for the avid reader. The bookmobile stocks audiobooks. That's what Patty Doppler's looking for.
I'm looking for books to listen to on a road trip and also just some kind of easygoing books to read just for summer enjoyment.
In this digital age, when a smartphone can be used to read a book, watch a movie, listen to music, or an audiobook, this bookmobile still has relevance, says Patty Skonicki, the bookmobile's librarian.
Not everyone is into the, you know, digital age, and there are a lot of people still that really like having a physical book to read. And not all of them can get down to the main library. I go all over Yellowstone County.
The bookmobile has everything the main library has, including ebooks, internet access, and tech support.
I have a hotspot, and I have a couple of iPads and a laptop. You know, if they have difficulties downloading something, or they don't know how to do it, or they need some help with a tablet, I can help with that, too.
The bookmobile has a busy schedule as Skonicki brings this library on wheels to senior centers and schools around Yellowstone County throughout the year, reaching out to those who have difficulties getting to the main library in downtown Billings. I'm Kay Erickson, YPR News.
The Billings City Council will hold a special 5 p.m. meeting tonight at City Hall to discuss the proposed $165 million One Big Sky Center downtown. MontDevco LLC, the developer of the 70,000-square-foot project, seeks up to $35 million in tax increment financing, also known as TIF. This is a kind of city-sanctioned loan funded by public tax dollars that shields borrowers for a certain number of years from area tax increases. All 50 states in the U.S. have TIF programs, and they are generally used for urban redevelopment purposes. Recently, for example, the Billings City Council approved $350,000 in TIF to help aid the expansion of Art House Cinema and Pub downtown into a multi-screen theater with a more refined food and beverage concession. MontDevco, which plans for construction of One Big Sky Center to begin in 2019, if granted the tens of millions in TIF that they seek, recently named their financial partner, a joint venture firm called Hammes Company. Headquartered in Wisconsin, Hammes is a real estate development and investment company that has been instrumental in developing the new home of the Minnesota Vikings. According to the Billings Gazette, the company has also invested in Allentown, Pennsylvania, to help redevelop a 128-acre neighborhood improvement zone in the city's downtown and waterfront neighborhoods using TIF money. Montdevco has said they would spend downtown Billings TIF dollars on public use facets of the mixed-use project, including a convention center, parking garage, and pedestrian greenway. One Big Sky Center project is anticipated to also boast a hotel, retail space, apartment, senior living, and entertainment space, and more. At tonight's city council meeting, the public and council members will hear project updates from organizers with Montdevco and, for the first time, Hammes Company. This information will be instrumental for when the City Council meets again July 24th to take final action on a Memorandum of Understanding. This MOU is a contract that would indicate how much tax increment financing the city is willing to grant out of the $35 million the partner developers seek. The regular City Council meeting will follow at 6:30. Petroleum Association of Wyoming President Bruce Hinchey is touting a budding rebound for Wyoming oil, especially for the Powder River Basin and Campbell County. Hinchey cites a dramatic increase in well applications and a higher rig count. He tells the Gillette News Record that he believes the state's oil industry is looking pretty good compared to last year. Following a 12% decline in oil production in the first quarter of the year compared to 2016, Hinchey said producers are starting to pump more and are ramping up for a busy summer. In all of 2016, 11 rigs operated in the state. So far through June this year, 25 rigs have been operating. Applications for opening up new wells are up 43% so far. Glacier National Park is allowing some private motorized boats to be launched on park lakes after closing all waters last November when aquatic mussels were detected in Tiber Reservoir, about 100 miles east of the park. The park gradually reopened its waters to hand-propelled boats in March and then to concession-rented and operated motorized boats. Park officials said today that within the next few weeks, they'll announce procedures for the inspection and 30-day quarantine required for private boats. The park has begun allowing private landowners living within the park's boundary around Lake McDonald, whose motorboats are only launched on Lake McDonald, to begin using the lake after inspection. Park Superintendent Jeff Moe says the goal is to allow people to recreate on the park's waters without creating a risk of spreading the invasive mussels. Little growth has occurred overnight on a wildfire burning in southeast Wyoming. What growth did occur on the fire burning in the Keystone area of Medicine Bow National Forest, between Centennial and the Colorado line, was from burnout operations initiated yesterday. The fire that began last week has burned about 3 square miles of mostly beetle-killed trees. About 3% of the fire is contained. More resources are being brought in to help battle it and protect cabins in the area. The fire has evacuated the communities of Keystone, Rambler, Lake Creek, and Moore's Gulch, and closed nearby camping areas in the forest. Today's forecast was for a good chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon in the area. A new Montana amphitheater is hoping it will stand up to Colorado's Red Rocks and Washington's Gorge. The Missoulian reports Bonner's Kettle House Amphitheater held its ribbon-cutting ceremony today. While the 4,000-capacity Montana structure is not as large as those in Colorado and Washington, owner Nick Chicota says its deep amphitheater bowl with contemporary architecture and views of Blackfoot River make it unique. Since Missoula is located on the route that bands typically take on their way to Red Rocks in the Gorge, Chicota hopes it will draw in some of those acts. The Kettle House has already booked 2 bands headed for Red Rocks for its first season. Chicota says the venue could also serve as a space for festivals and performing art events. New devices to monitor landslides were inserted deep underground at a recreation area in the Wyoming portion of the Black Hills National Forest. Data from the devices is relayed to smartphones. That allows U.S. Forest Service employees to order an evacuation when conditions indicate the potential for a fast-moving landslide or mudslide. Black Hills National Forest geologist Carl Emanuel told the Rapid City Journal there are numerous slow-moving landslides near Cook Lake, but one in particular on the forested hillside above the lake's southwestern shore is being monitored. He says if the 40-acre area's movement accelerates, it could partially fill the lake with millions of tons of earth and debris or release a dangerous torrent of liquefied earth known as a mudslide. A federal judge struck down a Utah law that bans secret filming at farm and livestock facilities. U.S. District Judge Robert Shelby wrote the law was an unconstitutional violation of free speech rights. The ruling, handed down last Friday, said the law appears tailored toward preventing undercover investigators from exposing abuses at agricultural facilities. The law was passed amid a wave of similar measures around the country known as ag-gag rules. A similar law in Idaho was struck down last year. That ruling is being appealed. Attorney Matthew Lieben with the Animal Legal Defense Fund praised the decision. He said it makes the laws passed elsewhere vulnerable to legal challenges. At least 16 states have similar laws, including Montana. Utah Attorney General's Office spokesman Dan Burton says they're reviewing the ruling. The Montana Supreme Court has adopted an interim rule allowing accommodations for breastfeeding mothers while taking the state bar exam. The rule, adopted last Thursday, allows a 15-minute stop-the-clock break during each of the 4 3-hour testing periods and will be in effect for those taking the bar exam later this month. Breastfeeding mothers will be afforded a spot to breastfeed or express breast milk and can bring needed supplies. The Montana State Bar petitioned for the change after denying requests for breastfeeding accommodations for test takers in July 2016 and February 2017. The Montana Board of Bar Examiners rules limited accommodations to permanent or long-term disabilities. Two women sought accommodations for this month's test. The interim rule grants those accommodations. The court is taking public comment through September 5th before deciding if the rule will be made permanent. Scattered thunderstorms, some could be severe, continuing this evening, otherwise partly cloudy and continuously breezy. Lows in the mid-50s to 60s. A red flag warning is in effect until midnight for portions of north central, central, south central, and southeastern Montana. Tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny and not as hot, with a few isolated showers or thunderstorms, highs in the 80s to near 90 degrees. I'm Bree Ripley, and this has been Yellowstone Public Radio Evening News for Monday, July 10th.